that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord, over all, above all, and in Him we live and move and have our being and exist in this paradigm, in this state where the predominant part of our consciousness is kept while we're in these human bodies. We get these moments where, you know, we might see things in another dimension or have these spiritual experiences or all kinds of other stuff that happens, but predominantly we keep coming back to this set point of this very, what has been, base reality, limited, tethered to this reality, as long as we're to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but to be in the body is to be stuck here. So we're here. We're here at such a time as this for God's plan and purpose. Because the other side of it, too, is that we have to be in an earth suit in order to participate in the things that are going on in this dimension. So it's a double-edged sword, if you would. It's a bit of a split. You know, on one side, of course, on the eternal side, we would love to be out and gone and away from all of this craziness, this foolishness, this matrix, this prison planet in so many different ways that seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy a world system, mind you, not the world that God created, because God made the world, He made all of that. You can see His handiwork in nature and all of that. But the world system, which is something else, which was made by the usurper, was made by the parasites, which requires the participation of human beings in it in order to co-create that prison reality, that prison situation, that prison dynamic. It requires the participation of the individual in it to give it validity, because that system in and of itself is just a shell without the lifeblood and the eternal spirits of people to run it. So when the soul chooses to go with Jesus, who is the gate, who is the doorway, who is the way off of this wheel, out of this matrix, when the soul chooses to respond, because God says the many are the called, but the chosen are few. So when He calls and you respond to that call and you become part of that chosen, because God will not override your free will, when you do that, now that is power depleted from their system. That's power that is being removed and going into another place, another spot, another way. And they don't like that. They don't like that at all, because in order for them to continue forward, they need the power that's in you. They need the participation that's in you. They need you to believe the illusion is real. They need you to participate in the illusion as if it were real. They need you to put your lock, stock, and barrel into the world and the world system, holding on for dear life that the Titanic will not, in fact, go under. That's what they need you to do. And what's amazing about what we're living in right now is that reality continues just to break through. Light continues just to break the surface. And every time that it does, I mean, it's amazing how people are so split in their thinking, in their minds, in their spirits. And they're so burdened with cognitive dissonance that it's sort of, we're getting to that place where it's sort of like what Stephen dealt with in Acts chapter 7, where when he was giving them the truth and he was basically unfolding all the way back from, you know, Abraham through Moses and through everything up until the present day of who Christ Jesus was, and they just went nuts. And it says in the scriptures that they put their hands over their ears and shouted at the top of their voices and came over to kill him. I mean, so right there. So what is it that we're dealing with? We're dealing with people that, as the truth keeps coming forward, and they can't deal with that. because it the truth reveals, it exposes, it makes them all of a sudden have to deal with. All right, so here we go. Let's just look at that one. Acts chapter 7. And, this is awesome because actually, I'm wondering, do you guys want to read this? Yeah, let's read this. Okay. It's a full passage. So we're going to start at verse 1 and we're just going to go through chapter 7. Okay. Verse 1. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of this of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall shew thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Chanaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abram brought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nursed him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren and children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptians. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he shewed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years was expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings, and I come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had shewed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you for your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angels, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our father would not obey. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifices unto idols, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then the Lord turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered me slain beasts and sacrifices in the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Ye took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Rephim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers had that come after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build for me? What house will ye build me? Saith the Lord. Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which shewed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord, Then they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneeling down, and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Yeah. So, there's a life. So Stephen, putting down the word, putting down the truth, and that truth coming forward, which was a dangerous truth, which was an inconvenient truth, which was a truth that upended the entire establishment, which was a truth that revealed that everything that they were doing was off step, out of line, missing the heart and the purpose of God. And what did they do with that? What did they do with that? Because in Acts chapter 2, they repented. In Acts chapter 2, they were cut to the heart and they turned to God and they said, what do we need to do to be saved? But what did they do here? What did the establishment do here? What did the people that were in control, the people that had a heart for power in the world, and to be the lording over other people, the usurpers, those that were the human agents for the devil's world system, what did they do? Or those that maybe were just deceived, like Paul, who, you know, Saul, who later became Paul, who thought he was doing God a service, which Jesus even said, look, the time's going to come where they're going to kill you and they're going to think that they're doing me a service, but they're going to do that because they don't know me. Well, here's a case in point. And as soon as he knew God, as soon as Saul, who became Paul, had a revelation of who Christ Jesus was, he turned and he was saved. But what happens with these human agents? What happens with these people that will choose to go that other way? Well, one thing is they go through this process of they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. I mean, that's classic right there. Verse 57. There is your 57 sauce right there. There is the one size fits all for the world system. So they try to get loud. They try to get really loud because they want to get louder than you to drown out your voice. That's one. They stop their ears because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that which would release anyone. And they don't want anyone else to hear it either. Because if that seed of truth, because the word, the seed is the word. You know, sometimes I know those lying preachers are running around out there. And you should be, listen, if you hear somebody calling money a seed, just instant flag, instant liar right there. And who's the father of all lies? The devil. So you might as well just leave it at that point. The seed is the word. The seed is the word. It even says that in the scriptures. The seed is the word. Provided that hasn't been blurred yet. We've been also going through a time of shifts and changes for those of you that have been watching. But hey, can still keep going with what we have right now. Okay. The deceit is the word. But they don't want that word to get out because of the risk of that landing on fertile soil. The risk of that landing on soil where that may actually take root and it may stir and germinate in a person's heart. And that seed may come back and bring a harvest and they don't want it to get out there. So what do? They try to get really loud and then they try to block up their ears and run upon him with one accord. And then they got to kill him. They have to kill him. They have to. They have to put out that light to their own hurt, to their own harm, to their own detriment. You know, there's a saying over in Asia that it's maybe in other places, but they would say over there that the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. And, you know, I mean, I can see something in that. It's a saying. But here, you know, that seed, that word that was spoken, even with everybody getting loud and crazy, Saul was in earshot of that. He heard that truth. And it did not return void. So in the midst of what we're in the middle of right now, brothers and sisters, we're in the middle of an incredible, incredible power encounter right now. All over the world. All over the world, light is coming in. Truth is coming forward. Now, here's the thing. In the middle of all of this, for the true follower of Christ, we do not love our lives so much as to shrink from death. We're cool. Because you can't kill a follower of Christ. You just bless them. If you kill a true follower of Christ, first of all, no one takes our lives from us. We freely, of our own accord, we lay them down only to take them back up again. Just like Jesus, we have the same power that's in us. And at the same time, in that process too, it's a blessing for us to be able to transition on from here. Because while we're here for the sake of others. We're here for the sake of those that do not know, for the sake of those that need to be set free. We're here for the sake of, there's going to be that last round of brothers and sisters that need to transition. So we hold space as long as we can, and as long as God would have us to, and then we check out when God would want us to leave. And you'll know. You know, this is not something that we need to be worried about or be perplexed about. You know, I think there's always a peace that comes from God when you are in step with Him, where you know, okay, this is it. This is your time. This is your time to transition. Now, I do think there's also multiple tracks going on at any given time, and God can change things on a dime for your life and your life experience. You can go up, you can go down, something could happen, something could not happen, you know, but He's in control. So you just want to stay in step with Him so that the reality that you're experiencing is the one that, you know, you just want to be in that step so that you are flowing with Him. Rather than God working in spite of you, you want to be God working in, and you're working with Him, you're partnering with Him. So just as Jesus said, you know, look, I make things known to my friends. You know, you want things to be made known unto you. And likewise, you know, you want to be God's eyes and ears and His hands and feet and speaking the words of God in this time. So we don't back down. You know, so the one of the blessings right now of having like a site like Faith Mix where we can publish, even though, you know, this is a little bit of a dated and old template here as far as the site goes, and, you know, we'll hopefully get to update everything at some point in the near future, because there's a lot of technological changes taking place that may very well benefit us to be able to continue to get the message out and the truth out. But we have the chance to still get something out to you guys. We have the chance to bring something out. And boy, I tell you guys, the people that have showed up, that have just been like this, with their crying with a loud voice, stopping up their ears and trying to get at us, there's been a history of that. But the problem here is we're out of arm's reach. The problem here is that this message still goes up. The problem here is that God continues to allow us the space and the opportunity to continue to share and to continue to bring this forward. And it drives them nuts. Oh, I tell you, it drives them nuts. And the fact that we have a landing page, look, and that you guys can download these things, oh, they hate that. Because you know, you could just go back through the archives. You could just go back through the things that are up there. We've been on point with the Spirit of God throughout. Now, you know, even as we said early on, though, eat the meat and spit out the bones. You can do that. There's going to be some things that, you know, you may have some questions about. But when you look at it, the Spirit has been with us throughout this whole process. If you want to point out where we've been off track, then by all means, tell us. But nobody's done that. What people do is they just want to shut us up for no reason, no logical reason. But they want to shut us up because of the Spirit. They want to shut us up because of what God has put inside of us. They want to shut us up because they don't like the fact that we see and we know and we understand and we make known the truth. And they want to shut us up because of the fact that we have the very light of God shining through us. You don't light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. No, you put it on the lampstand and it shines bright for the whole house. It shines bright from the whole hill. And they see that light and they can't stand it. But you know what? Tough. Tough. Listen, if you've gone the way of the world, if you've gone the way of the darkness, that's your choice. But for those that have gone the way of light and truth, that's their choice. And as those that have followed Christ, as they walk in the benefit and the blessing of knowing God, just know that that choice and that option was presented and was offered. But you chose darkness rather than light, because your deeds were evil. You didn't want to come into the light because you didn't want to be exposed. Listen, to be exposed in the light is probably one of the biggest blessings that you could have, because you know what? It might be painful for a moment, but it's just like ripping off a Band-Aid. Once that's done, listen, it's over. There's not, the war's done. You give up. You surrender to the living God and you let Him lead and guide your life for the rest of your time here. Are you going to be perfect? No, but you just continue to walk out as God would lead and guide you. And you just do it with an open and an honest heart, and you let things be what they are. And God will flow through you, and He will use you for His purposes. But to stay in the world because you're holding on to some dead, stupid thing, why? For what? Listen, every one of us is transitioning through here. Every one of us is here for a very short window. And when we're done, we're done. Why waste that window building the world and the world system? Why waste that time not being engaged in the things that God has put in your heart to do? Why are you going to... You've been given... The very breath in your lungs is a blessing from God. Why would you not trust Him with the rest of everything? Because even you need Him just to have breath. So, yes, you know, this is you know, we've been giving some instructions recently, as God has been sort of sharing things with us too and leading us. And we've been putting some things up there, things that will help you to go through right now. And so... just keep those things in mind, you know, where your attention goes, the nature of power, detachment and praise. We talked about those in the last audio. Go through that one if you haven't listened to that. Listen to these things. Share these with other people. You know what? That's another thing, too. All right? Listen, we're out here. We've put our necks on the chopping block. All right? The least you can do is... share this message with somebody that it will help. That's the least you can do. And pray. Keep us in prayer. You know, You know, we're out here and we put ourselves out here and we get shot at all the time for doing this kind of thing. But we put ourselves out there. And you know what? I was talking to my best friend recently about this. It's on a personal, on a human level, this whole thing of like people saying, oh, okay, brother, you go do it and we, you know, we got your back. No, you don't got our back. Listen, we don't need people on the sidelines watching. We need people engaged in the fight. Pray. Put those words up there. Engage. This is way past the time to be on the field of play right now. If you are just watching right now, I'll tell you which side you're on. You're not on the side of the Lord. If you are watching in this stage, you're still in the world. You're hoping the Titanic is going to be able to prop itself up. If you are just watching from the sidelines and you are scared to be associated with people like us and people that speak the truth and are doing the kind of things that we're doing, if you're scared to pray for us, if you're scared to post a link or share a link with somebody, listen, you know where you are. You're just hoping that's not the truth. Stop. Search your own heart. Why? What is it? What scares you? What are you scared of? What are you scared of? Seriously. Are you going to live your entire life in fear? Are you going to live your entire life waiting and hoping that things are not what they are, only to die and find out that they're exactly what you were afraid that they are, and you spent your whole life and frittered away your entire existence here on the earth, and you wouldn't even lift a finger to help a brother or sister in Christ? You know, you guys can forget about us sometimes if you want to, but go help. Go get involved somewhere. At the same time, you know what? Hey, if you've been listening here for a long time and if you've been benefiting from this, but you haven't actioned any of this, you're not praying for us, you're not praying for the people that are associated with us, then what are you doing? Why? Do you just want to listen because it helps you get through your day? Do you just want to ponder? You know what? There was a guy in India I heard speak one time, and he said, most people, they want to know the will of God so they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. Think about that. Do you want to know the will of God so you can actually walk that thing out? Or do you want to know the will of God just so that you can kind of ponder it and see if it fits into your own personal life plan? Because you know what? Listen, a lot of us, who among us would choose to go the path of even just this chapter 7, the things that went on first, where he talks about Abraham, where he talks about what happened to Joseph, where he talks about their journey that went through. How many people, everybody wants to be the second highest ruler in the land, and people want to be, you know, having the inheritance, all that. Who wants to go through what these guys went through to get to that place? Or Stephen given the word and all of a sudden getting killed for that. Are you willing just to allow God to do whatever he wants to with your life? Are you willing to put yourself out there and let things be what they are? Are you willing to trust the way that God works and speaks through you? Or do you need things to work out in the world? Do you need things to be something? Do you need to be somebody here? You know, when Daniel was offered all the trimmings, if he could just interpret the writing on the wall, there was a literal thing. There was literal writing on the wall. Many, many tekel parson was what was written on the wall. And what did he say? He said, keep your gifts or give them to yourself or give them to somebody else. I don't care, but I will interpret this. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. That night, that guy's life was taken from him. Not Daniel's. Daniel continued on. Daniel continued on through 4 kings. Talk about staying power. This guy was a slave. But you know what? So many times, he was just willing to go through whatever. But he was not going to turn his back on God. He was not going to turn his back on the truth. He was not going to turn his back on that which was real. And listen, you don't want to be part of that. You don't want to be part of baiting people into trying to turn their back on God. I know the enemy tries to reward people for that. You don't want to be in that. That's a miserable end that people come to in that world. In that game world. Listen, I am excited for the time we're living in because everything's being shaken up. Everything's turning. Everything's moving. And this is the time to pray. This is the time to engage. This is the time to be connected with the Father and to be about our Father's business. Listen, if you're here for one more month and that's it, and that was your time in the earth, great. Praise God. If you're here for another 100 years, praise God. Great. Wonderful. I think everything's up in the air. I think everything can shift and be whatever God wants it to be. I think, for me, when I look at this stuff, I think that there's going to be, I look at this and I'm just like, in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 7, they have to explain it to people that the whole thing that they thought God was going to do and everything they thought God was going to be, and it ended up being completely different than what they thought. One time a bunch of people got saved, the next time they just ended up wanting to kill the guy, and they did kill him, they told him. But either way, they missed God. So right now, the time that we're living in, people have all these expectations of what God's going to do. And it might be something completely different. Wouldn't that be interesting? If it's something completely different, are you willing to flow with God? Are you willing to go His way? Or do you need Him to fulfill the very thing that you were expecting? You know somebody that needed God to do what he thought he was supposed to do? was Judas. No, let's go into this a little bit. Judas was the Zealot. So Judas, his part of his thinking was that God was supposed to, the Savior, the Messiah, was supposed to come and to liberate the children of Israel from Roman occupation and Roman rule. So, and he'd been walking around with Jesus for 3 years. And maybe somewhere inside of his own heart, now this is some speculation possibly, but maybe somewhere inside of his own heart, and part of what the enemy used, besides the fact that he was a thief and helped himself to whatever was in the money bag, so he had that open door right there for the enemy to come in and to access him. But somewhere inside of him too, that thought process of, you know what? Let's force God's hand. That was part of the betrayal. Because part of the betrayal was, you know, let's get this thing going. Let's get this liberation from the Roman occupation going. So here it is. In that carnal, fallen, human mind thinking, we're going to force the hand of God. We're going to make Jesus have to now rise up and be that conquering king and liberate us from Roman occupation and Roman rule and set up his kingdom. And then when he realized that Jesus was betrayed and that he was going to be crucified, then he was gripped with sorrow and he wanted to return the money and all that other stuff. It's too late. But he had his own idea. He had his own expectation. And that his own expectation, coupled with compromise, opened the door in his own spirit for even the devil himself to jump inside of him and to use him. My recommendation is, why don't you just give up to the living God and allow him to take your life completely over and moment to moment just flow with him? How about that? How about you enjoy the life that he's given you on the earth? Breathe in the breath that God has given you. Breathe out and just let it be. And trust him. And let him flow. And if he wants to do something incredible, let him do something incredible. If he wants to have you alone to himself, let him have you alone to himself. If he wants to stand you up on the height of a mountain and speak the truth, then let him do that. Stop with all the scenarios and all the craziness and all the shenanigans and letting all those things grab your attention, mind you, because they need your attention to co-create that reality that they're working on in the first place. They need you to buy into it. They need you to help that thing happen. What happens when you withdraw your consent? The whole thing falls apart. It's a shell. The only life that it has is the life that you give it. Because the life of the living God is in you. So what happens when you remove it? Now what? They can't do anything. I'll give you another example. Classic one. All right. So the currencies that we use right now. I won't call it money because it's currency. Money has intrinsic value in and of itself. And it's a long-term store of value, which currency is not. The currency that we use, the U.S. dollar, it's just an illusion. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. But yet, people believe in that illusion, yes? They swap value with that illusion, yes? Despite the fact that that value is being eroded by the very nature and the system that the dollar is based upon, they still swap value in that. What happens if people stop believing the illusion and the lie that's there? All of a sudden, now what happens? The whole thing collapses instantly. They can't have that. They can't afford that. That's why when countries have wanted to set up their own things or get off the Bretton Woods system or get off the petrodollar or whatever it may be, they freak out because they can't afford for people to stop believing. That's just one. But if you know that it's an illusion, if you know that it's a lie, then your dynamic changes, your dynamic shifts. And how you relate to the whole thing changes. Listen, have a light touch on this life in this world. Trust the Father. He's going to give you, you've got everything you already need already. But you can trust Him in this whole thing. He knows exactly what He's doing with us. Listen, we're here at an amazing time. My gosh. This is the time to be here. It's rough, yes. But of course, this is like the epitome right now. You want to be here. Because you're in the game. You're in the thrust of it. You're right there in the middle. So let God flow through you. Don't just, and whatever it is, if there's something off in your life, if there's something that needs to go, something that needs to change, the Holy Spirit will tell you. You need that no man should teach you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because He's the one that will lead and guide you into all truth. So why don't you just leave it at that? Okay? If something needs to change, if something needs to shift, God will show you. And if He wants to add something to you and show you and teach you and lead you into a new experience, He'll do that as well. My gosh, how many years were all of us, did people try to micromanage us just to try to get the Holy Spirit out of us? Thank God that stuff is pretty much done. Thank God that we saw that for what it was. And how empty and how dead was all of that? Seriously. And if you understand the dynamics of power and you start moving in the power that God's put in you, you will never, ever be in that situation again. My people perish for what? Lack of what? Knowledge. You don't know, so you put yourself in those situations and you get chewed up. But as soon as you know and you start adjusting, you won't ever be back on those things again. You will walk free. So walk free and live it out. Love life. Love truth. Love the living God. Let Him lead and guide and direct you. This is an amazing thing. All right, riding that wave. Love you guys. God bless you. Keep your eyes on Christ. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.